Are you sure we can tell this?
Massive fan of Off the Ball.
Ireland is in dreamland.
The All Ireland finals are almost upon us.
There's always good guests on.
Fastest ever seen you run in your life, though.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe at offtheball.com/join.
Highly recommend it.
OTB GAA. The Football Pod on Off the Ball.
In partnership with AIB.
Proud sponsors of the GAA Senior Football Championship.
Check out #thetoughest for more.
Hello there. You are very welcome along to a very special football pod. This one is for Armagh. 2024 All-Ireland Senior Football Champions. Myself and Paddy Andrews were there in the press box. Paddy, you good today?
We're good, yeah. A lot better than it was last week after Hurling.
Well, at least we got you.
I kept it very professional yesterday. There was a lot.
No rickshaws,
yes. I may not be on a rickshaw for the rest of the year, hopefully.
I actually, when I got out of Croke Park last night at 8 o'clock, there was a lot of rickshaws and taxis outside the Croke Park Hotel, and I thought of you. I wondered, was that Paddy's rickshaw?
Yeah, it was. It was from the hotel to, where was it, Chaplets. Yeah, down just off College Green, great spot. The hotel, look, it was on wheels, wasn't it? I got out just before you did the press conferences with the coaches. We see Reid O'Neill and Rory Grugan. They're having the time of their life, as you'd expect. But the buzz outside the stadium, this would have been about 16:15, would have been maybe slightly later.
A bit later, maybe, yeah.
And the hotel was... Oh, there was carnage from what I could see. I went right, the hotel was left, and I was like, I'm getting out of here.
If the Croke Park Hotel was carnage, I only can imagine what the Carrickdale Hotel was like last night, because it looked like it was off the charts. James, we haven't even said hello to you. How are you?
Oh, hi, lads. Remember me? Yeah, I am.
Because he's wearing a cabin jersey.
He's wearing a cabin subs jersey. Talk to us about this.
My man was fucking whipped after about 15 minutes.
You actually have two sub jerseys from that thing. There's a 27 as well.
No, I don't know how I stumbled on this jersey, but
it's a nice jersey.
Do you know where I got it actually? Copperface Jacks.
Did you actually?
Nah.
Bring the gear back with to the coppers. You've got some good swaps in there.
What
is
it?
Cabin is lovely.
It's nice jersey.
Cabin, nice cabin to France.
What you've on there, Tom?
Little France Euro 96 jersey. Give a mention here to. There's a lot of good jersey pages, but premium jerseys.
Is there? Premium no one sent me yet, lads. Nobody sent me anything yet.
I like it. I think it's nice.
I'd love a jersey off premiumjerseys.ie.
Premiumjerseys123. Don't start this.
123.ie.
Lads, you're gallivanting and you're messing last week with the our members pod, our secrets pod. You try to throw off the scent.
Sabotage.
It worked. We had Aidan O'Shea on Friday night. We had a great night Thursday night with Stephen McDonald and Paul Clancy. Busy couple of days. And then it all transpired on Sunday. James, can you give it in a minute what you made of it at the weekend?
Press play. Just press play.
In a minute, I would say that first half, as expected, very tentative. I thought Galway looked a little bit nervy. Even the first play, they held the ball for a couple of minutes. They were all touching the ball, but they didn't want to risk anything. It was like they really did work on that system, but they got too cautious. They got a bit too safe. And we knew that Armagh were going to drop off the kick out, so it took out that big strength for Galway. And I think that Galway made one tactical error, Mulcairn was playing wing back at seven, and Connaughty had kicked four against Roscommon but been quiet against Kerry.
Yeah.
And I think they took their eye off the ball with him. And I don't know, was it a tactical decision to put him right half forward from left half forward, or was it off his own back that he saw the space over there? But he knew that Mulcairn was dropping back and he picked up the world of ball at 10. And in fairness to him, his shooting was off against Kerry. His shooting was bang on. He kicked three from play from half forward. I thought he was outstanding. And he did some damage that was hard to claw back. On the other side for Galway, Walsh could have been man the match if he had his kicking boots on. But instead, he had a day to forget. I think he had three wides and dropped two short. got one from play. But the shots he missed, if he was fit and training hard, he'd have got them, but he missed them and they ruined those mistakes. And last thing I'll say is it wasn't a day for full forward line players. If you look at the players that were on, Turbot didn't get a sniff, Murnin, if Grugan was in the round there, didn't get a sniff, Walsh, Comer, Tierney ended up in there. Like, these players just weren't in the game. The game was absolutely played out like we thought, but ran by wing-backs and midfielders, and Armagh had the beating of Galway in those areas.
Yeah, that was interesting. The setup, the Armagh tactically, how, on one sense, they probably negated Galway, but they also, Galway's defensive system that we've been so impressed by, McHugh and Mulkearns this year have been dropping back into the D. Oisin Connolly made ribbons of that so early on. Paddy, James mentioned Walsh and he mentioned Comer there and Tierney and not getting them into the game. It kind of felt like things were shaky once Rob Finnerty went off. Like, he had started well. He got in the ball, he turned the kick out, kicked the free, and then when he went off for 10 minutes, it was a bit like...
Yeah, but well, it just showed how important he has grown to become in that Galway attack. He's been, in terms of the course of the season, their most consistent forward. He probably doesn't have the ceiling that the likes of Walsh and Comer have, but he's been so, so important too. Not just for the free-taking and the scores that he get, but just the kind of knits things together. He's the type of player I really, really like. He was very good in the semi-final as well. But what it did, the fact that it was so early in the game, Galway had to play the Johnny Heaney card after 10 minutes. And there was an area where Armagh had a distinct advantage over Galway, you would say, coming into the game, was that punch off the pitch. But that was magnified, that the fact Galway had to use Heaney after only 10 minutes. So that was a loss. And the other thing at the time, and no one would have known this, was, are they really going to miss him on the freeze? Because you've unknown about how Walsh is going to perform. Does Walsh have the capacity to shoot the lights out? Of course he does, because he's done it at this level before. But as it transpired, they really could have done. Particularly, I can't get over that one in the first half, boys, at the top of the D.
But I've never seen him actually skew one out wide like that. Do you know, he
completely... Yeah, it just showed. It was like, it was such a free... Finnerty, it was left just to the right side of the top of the D. So you could say, like, Finnerty would have taken it if he was on the pitch. But you could just as easy kick that on your right foot over the bar.
That's what Jay Walsh said this before on commentary. That he was surprised because he didn't take it on his right.
Of course. Yeah. That's true. That's what should have happened. But it didn't. And do you know what? In a game of those margins, the man in the street knew this game was going to go down to the absolute wire. Every score was going to count. Just nearly, like, at this level, Jimmy, that's a gibby of a free. From there, at the other end, Turbot actually misses one from a pretty similar end into the hill, and he has an off day himself. So look, it can happen. But what it also did for Walsh, you missed the first one, just puts you under pressure. The next one he gets is right out of the corner. Under
the last one, that's not what you want after missing an easy one.
And all of a sudden you're 0-2. Where that's again, he could probably kick that 7 times out of 10, but it's a harder kick. And all of a sudden, he's 0-2 from the freeze, and it just puts a little bit more pressure on it. Look, in the grand scheme of things, yes, the Tierney thing had an impact, Finnerty thing had an impact, because you're losing him on the freeze, you're losing the balance he brings to that attack, and you're also losing that little bit of impact off the bench, which Galway couldn't really afford. And a lot of the stuff that a lot of people were saying on how this game would pan out came to pass. That's the reality. There was no surprises really from either side, bar one of the standout performers was Connolly. It wasn't just playing out at 10. He was getting between the lines. Like this, he has 2 points in the first 10 minutes. So clearly they could understand that this was an area where they could hurt Galway. But it kind of happened for the whole match. And it wasn't really addressed. And bar Silk picking up going man to man with Reid O'Neill. Galway kind of had a tendency to just get bodies back without being too preoccupied with going really man to man on someone. And Connolly took absolute advantage of it. Brilliant physically to do it, but mentally to be switched on and as sharp as he was, it was a key plus for Armagh.
But you know, like we've said for a while, that Armagh kind of aren't attacking fast enough or going at it. I thought Armagh's attack was so incisive. Like Galway were fluting around with the ball, hand passing over and back. I was like, lads, come on, do some sort of a dummy, do some sort of an incision. Every time Armagh went forward, they went forward with purpose and they were accurate. Their conversion rate was bang on and they looked like they knew what they were doing in attack. And some of their kicking was excellent. Like Forker's point was an absolute boomer. Reen O'Neill's point was sensational. Oisin O'Neill's point. McCambridge's point. These are top
Grimley's ones. Point. Grimley's point.
Grimley's the best of the day.
Clothesline bit air.
Yeah, how didn't he fall over? Like the strength,
but
the power.
Pass, even and it the was, pass from Oisin O'Neill. He hits him with a 50-yard pass. Grimley catches it. I think it's Dylan McHugh comes in off the top rope trying to take him out.
McHugh,
he pirouettes. It was Mulcairds who hit him. There were two.
There's two.
It was like, you know, it was similar. The hurlers speaking about this. To Tony Kelly's 360
yeah, it was.
Last week.
It was.
He going to twirls and nails the kick in off that post. I was saying the woodwork got so battered at Crow Park yesterday, but that hit the post that came in. Yeah.
But you mentioned
but like those scores.
Who would have thought Jimmy, that point, who would have thought Armagh's attack would outshine that Galway attack?
Yeah. Yeah, and it did comfortably. Galway. Comfortably.
Armagh got 1-3 from their defence. Like, like the attack didn't necessarily. Like, it was
their waves of attack. Do you know what I mean? It wasn't necessarily their full forward.
The six forwards.
The way they went at it. And then you have, like, we always said with Super Campbell's going to have an impact. And they didn't spring him at halftime because they were set. You know, they were fine. They were playing well enough. They could leave it another bit. As soon as he came on, he has an impact. Like that left-handed hand pass. Out of the corner of his eye, he sees McKay coming. Or he thinks it's Reen O'Neill, I heard him say to you afterwards, Tom. But he thinks it's Reen O'Neill. He puts a beautiful little cross. It was like a soccer dink into the back post just for a tall man to come in and just head in. Yep. And it was just a beautiful bit of football and a great play because he could have thrown a risky hand pass for a point. It would have definitely dropped short. It was too fair. Just hooked it back at the last second for the goal. I thought it was a brilliant bit of play.
But do you know what it was, Jimmy? He got the ball out at left half forward and the anticipation in the crowd from Armagh.
Yeah.
No matter what was happening, he was going straight. He was sprinting. He was going to take his man on. And it probably wasn't really on. He was kind of nearly, you could say, he's going down a bit of a blind alley there. But it was just in his head. He was coming on to like penetration. Do make an incision into this attack. And I couldn't agree with you more. Dylan McHugh stood out so much in the semi-final win over Donegal because not only for his couple of scores, but every time he got the ball, he was punching holes in that Donegal defence. And we just did not see that from Galway enough yesterday, which is it's the disappointing thing for them because they, like I said, there was no surprises in what Armagh would have done defensively. You know they're very difficult to break down, but you need people to break the lines. And whether it was a mentality thing from Galway, going, we don't want to turn the ball over, we're not very physical. If we carried into contact, we could be hurt on the break. But they just didn't get that balance right. They didn't get really any penetration. And some of the scores they got were exceptional. Like Paul Conroy kicks 3 points. They are like, even just the way he strikes them, it's really like he's hitting them with his laces. They're that far out. And he's under pressure. And he nails them. Incredible scores. If there's a point the other way, what happened to Paul Conroy, nailed on for player of the year. So, but it was just like that.
His
that
favorite
impact
now, isn't
it? It usually goes to a winner, though, isn't it?
I know.
Who
it didn't last year? It didn't.
It doesn't.
Andy Moore. It doesn't know.
Bernard Brogan.
Who out of interest? Who like this morning? Like before, I don't know if you've looked at it, but Conroy obviously is contender, and I think all Galway fans are probably thinking, please don't go, given the absolute exhibition he put on.
Oh, he's surely not going to go. I wouldn't have thought he's going to go. It's going to be difficult for him to get to that level again where he was outstanding all season. But look, we don't know, but I'd hope not, just as a neutral. And Galway definitely will be hoping he doesn't.
McCambridge has obviously entered all of our lives in the last 6 weeks, and he's had some impact.
McCambridge is a great
He gets up for a point himself as well, like.
Yeah, and does some job. Can I just pick up on the speed of the attack? Because I just thought the tone was set from the first attack. Tierney wins it. You said it, James. It's 2 minutes and 10 seconds before Paul Conroy says, enough of this. And he takes it on, right? And like that ball could have dropped short. It takes ages to go over the bar and it drops over the bar. It's an epic point. 33 seconds later, that's all it took Armagh to equalise rushing Connerty. Galway's next score, Liam Silk, after 2 minutes of possession. And then Finnerty steals the kick out, right? And they get another one. But 30 seconds after that, Connerty gets one back again. And that was just the speed and the flow of the game. And that repeated itself throughout. There's the GAA Sports Tracker app. One of the lads got in touch and let me know that the average point time in the first half for Galway, how long it took them, was 90 seconds. And Armagh was 53. So in the Donegal game, we could see their long kickouts working. They were getting kickouts out to Matthew Tierney and they were getting a score quickly. When that was taken away from them, James, what could they have done differently, Galway? What could they have done to speed it up? Well, could they have let the ball into Damien Comer and Matthew Tierney? Could they have tried that out?
Well, look, Kerry found it hard to get the ball into full forward line as well. So, I mean, you have to credit Armagh's defence here. They have been teak tough. Like, they are solid and they all know what they're doing. But from my point
Crayley,
of view...
Crayley and Tierney Kelly were doing a brilliant job, Jimmy, of screening in front of Comer. So Armagh had the beautiful thing of being really tight man-to-man markers and then having the bonus of really set structure.
They were,
Usually a team will maybe get caught between, but that's how they were doing really well with it, Jimmy.
But, you know, I know for a fact Galway probably did a lot of work on this in the last couple of weeks, right? They stayed wide and deep. Okay, and I've heard a lot about this. We used to do a lot of it as well. Wide and deep is great at times, but like Armagh knew they were staying wide and deep. Fuck it, everyone knew they were going to stay wide and deep. Do you know, like that's kind of the template now. They didn't try anything different because if you looked at Armagh's attack, at times Armagh just stayed central and left the channels and they could get so much closer to the goals on the channels. But our Galway were just staying too wide, too deep, couldn't get their big players into the game. And they weren't clever enough to get them into the game. And Armagh were far better. But if you look right at the last play of the game. So Armagh come down. Or sorry, Galway break. And it comes to McDade. Do you remember? In the right
corner. Johnny McGrath gets
turned on.
Go, Jim.
I don't know, if you could see that from TV. But that was we could see it. That was an unbelievable chance. They absolutely, I know McDade gets turned over, but they butchered it. They three or four there on that side.
James,
because they were so used to Paddy of taking out of contact and not going past anyone that they were like, oh, defender, I'll give it off. And next thing they ended up out on the side and McDade gets a bit jiggy and it's gone. And there was another incident when Silk gives it out to Walsh in the second half and Walsh kicks it with his left wide. Do you remember that?
Well, we spoke about Tom Sullivan not taking on the effort with his right foot and coming back in and butchering two chances in the semi-final. Liam Silk scored that day from the top of the D off his left. Why didn't he back himself, Jim?
But Silk would go past that defender 100 times out of 100 and fist the point. I know we don't like him, but he would, or else he'd be fouled. But you get so used to keeping the ball out of contact and you've trained for a couple of weeks, keep out of contact, rotate, the chance will come. It means you turn down golden opportunities at times. And I know for a fact because it happened to us over the years, loads of times.
Really?
You get so used to playing that system that suddenly you forget that there's only one man between me and the goal. I'll back myself to go past him any day. But like how Galway from that play that McDade gets turned over ended up out on the side when they had a 4v2, I'd say they had.
Could you see it on the telly, Jimmy?
Yeah, well, probably not as much. I'd like to see an angle taken out a bit. But
Gleeson breaks it down. But if you see the high behind of that play, we were like, shit, goal, we're going to win this thing. It was
really,
they were Armagh were wide open, and it's Johnny McGrath, Tommy, is it?
Yeah,
who has it, and he kind of just, I don't know, he doesn't know he has the space and kind of turns and then just kind of
he gives it to Kieran Malloy,
shifts it, and it's just like. Just go at the goal. You've so much of an overlap here. It was such an opportunity. I know people are talking about McHugh hitting the post. That was really difficult. It would have been a brilliant score if he got it. But I thought that was the biggest opportunity. And again, Conroy getting blocked at the end.
Well,
shot probably wasn't out, but they were just going to run out of time. But that play, God, we will look back at that and go, that was the opportunity.
Those two plays, Tommy, Galway were too jiggy. Like, you always take it back to Dublin in their prime there. They score there. Do you know what I mean? If you're talking last play in All-Ireland, we need a point, settle, you know, just do the right thing. They didn't. And they just got caught with it. Like, they didn't do the right thing. They looked too jiggy in those two situations.
I like the phrase too, Jiggy. Paddy, let's just linger on this for a second, and I do want to come back to the block after, but James says that Dublin would have got the score there. My feeling watching it back was Johnny McGrath and Kieran Malloy, their body shape was just turned the wrong way. That there was space the other side. They gave it the wrong way. And McDade, unfortunately, whether he didn't have the legs, Creedy just eats him alive.
Brilliant turnover from Creedy. And that's Alan McDade, who is a power player for them as well. So you have to give credit to Armagh for that scramble defence. But there was probably maybe 2 to 3 seconds, which doesn't sound like a lot, but believe me, it is at that stage of the game. And it just, you're right, they make play 2 or 3 wrong movements, moving away from goal, and that buys Creely and their man defence time. But when Gleeson breaks it, we always had this thing, if you want to steal, it's on, go for goal. And then a point is like last resort, but just sprint at the goalpost, at the black spot. And then if you have to turn around, or if you're shifted out by it, there's brilliant defence, well, then we'll take a point, and it's a bit of a pain in the hole, but at least you've got a score.
But there you're getting fouled there, Paddy, aren't you? Because in the Armagh man's thing, it's like, these fuckers are true on goals. They're going to win the All-Ireland. I'll take the foul. Yeah.
But that was our mentality. And then maybe it's not natural, because you get a stadium, you're like, okay, get a breath, we have the ball back. But it was always, you know, worth it. If you turn them over on a kick out, it's the one time they ain't set. And as good as Armagh's biggest strength, we said, when they get bodies back, they're hard to break down. They're physical, they're well organised, and they're ruthless when they're defended. And just that opportunity, I'm sure part of choice of Galway players will have a look back at it. Lads, you look, when you lose a game by a point, there's a hell of a lot of moments in the game. And I'm not trying to, we don't want to throw anyone under the bus here, but when you lose a game, there's so many of those types of plays that they look back at those Galway players. You can see them after they're hard to fight.
I'm going to play a clip here. I had the pleasure on Saturday of sitting down with Sean Boylan in his garden and spent a lovely couple of hours around the Boylan household. Just, it tallies with exactly what you're both saying. I had just put it to him about the goal, the great goal that Meade scored against Cork in 1999.
Ali Murphy.
Yeah. Giles plays a long ball. Graham Geraghty gets up above Sean O'Gahalpin and breaks into the path of Ollie Murphy, who takes it in a stride and just gets a shot away as Anthony Lynch dives at his foot. Do you remember it? I don't know if you can picture it, but this was Sean's.
It's the canal, the old canal end.
Yeah. I asked Sean about that and he just gives an unbelievable answer about, I suppose, a sport that we love. Just have a listen to it.
You just marvel at it. It's like it's poetry in motion, and it is an art. And like, that's why, you know, hurling is astonishing. It's an astonishing game. And I absolutely adore hurling. But Gaelic football played positively is a joy because, you know, you can be attacked from the front, from behind, from the side. You have to be able to catch it in the air. You have to be able to take it. And, like, you should never take the art out of, like, chipping the ball up or whatever. Like, never take the skill out of a game. But, like, and I loved, it's more, you had more of it at the time, the risk in it. Trusting your fellow player up the field, you know what I mean, that he'd win the ball. And like years ago, if a back won 7 out of 10 balls, he'd be disappointed with himself, you know what I mean, if the forward won 3, but because it was man to man,
it's just risk, it's just trusting your fellow players. Like, is that what we've lost? Is that why Damien Comer has been so ineffective in 2 All-Ireland finals? Like, is there an element of that, James? Slim Silknock backing himself, as you said, to just go at his man, not avoid the contact.
It's a tough one. I still think that Armagh played the perfect game. Like, for them, they went out, they were so solid defensive. They knew what Armagh were going to do, because that's what most teams do against that kind of defence. And when they broke with purpose. So you'd have to say Armagh were brilliant. But Galway, I think that they it seemed like they overtrained the system, and they you almost lose your own natural instinct. And I'm honestly saying this from experience, because the Northern teams, when we were playing them, were brilliant. You had Donegal, you had Tyrone, they played kind of similar. They got bodies back. You couldn't go into contact because they were so physical in the tackle and strong. But sometimes a one-on-one duel is just a one-on-one duel, no matter who you're playing. But you train your eye out of it by keep rotating the ball, probing, keep rotating. And next thing, this couple of minutes gone by, And it just takes the, it takes individual brilliance out of your attack at times. But it can work, but I just don't think it worked for Galway at the weekend. But like, I wouldn't criticise the match because I thoroughly enjoyed it. I thought that it was a tactical battle. It wasn't, but same as the one that I won in 2014. It was a tactical battle. And there, for a football lover, they can be just as enjoyable. Like when it was coming down the stretch, it was still, like my palms were sweaty. Like I was, I don't know how this is going to go. It was still exhilarating. Like, so it was still a brilliant match. But I think that Galway, if I was to criticise them, I think they overtrained the system and lost that little bit of natural flair as a result. But all credit to Armagh for making him do that.
Yeah, Paddy, I think that's fair. I think it's the game, the exact game we expected. You know, that's what the football we know right now. And I know there's work being done in the background to maybe bring that little bit of risk back, as Sean Boylan was saying there. But did you enjoy it, Paddy?
I thought second half was very good. Like the first half, not that it was bad, it was intriguing, but it was like it could not have went more according to plan. That first half, we knew it was going to be tight. There was never more than a point between them. The second half, I thought the third quarter, quality-wise, was the best of the match. I thought some unbelievable scores. Conroy gets another one straight off the bat. McDade roars into the game again. Mm. And that goal, we get a two-point lead for the first time. When you're thinking, is this going to be like that third quarter against Dublin in the quarterfinal where they just grabbed the game, they took the game away with a scuff of the neck. Didn't materialise because our man, Connolly, that man again, impacts. I think Tierney Kelly gets a score. Reid O'Neill gets his mate big score of the day. The quality was went up a notch. Shea Walsh has his one positive moment, maybe it's hard, from play in that quarter as well. You just think this is going to take off. The subs come in. Galway play the Sean Kelly card. Armagh, at the same time, bring in Soupy Campbell. And then when the goal goes in, and Oisin O'Neill, who has an unbelievable impact as well, the goal goes in. Grugan gets a bad knock. We said it, Tommy. The game is on wheels, and then Grugan gets a bad knock, and that slows everything down, and the air kind of comes out of it, and it probably never gets back up again as we enter the final quarter. It's so tense. And Armagh, to be fair to them, but you can't blame them with this, they get their noses in front with the goal, and you felt a goal in that game, whoever got massive. It was going to be such a massive score. Then they just say, right, Gleeson, you have the kick out. We're going to mind what we've got, and we play on the break. And Galway had opportunities. They kind of, Armagh said, "You, it's up to you guys. They'll go show you're good enough to break it down." And Galway weren't. They weren't great in front of the post at all for the whole game. But they had opportunities to do it. It was ballsy for Armagh. But the scores Armagh get, like I say, during that period, it is Galway push up and they hit them on the break. So we know Armagh can do that. Like that Grimley score, I think, is exceptional. The pass from Oisin O'Neill.
Yeah, class.
Like old school. Literally like a punt kick. You're right. You're in the stadium. You just don't see that much anymore.
Rian did it.
Armagh tried it two or three times. Like.
But Rian O'Neill did it 2 weeks beforehand in extra time to set Conor Turbitt away. He took out 12.
That wasn't a punt. Oisin O'Neill's kick was like he volleyed the thing up the pitch. Rian O'Neill did a bit more. It was equally as effective, but it had a bit more subtlety. When Oisin O'Neill launches it, you're like, and there's, oh, fucking hell, Gribbley's there. So there's method. I was just trying to volleyball up into the premium level. But Gribbley wins it. And then, to be honest, he doesn't have any other option. I think, does Hurston have an arm?
Yeah, he is.
Hurston is giving him a free, maybe, just as well, because there's no one up
maybe
there.
Maybe a mark. Like, maybe it's a mark.
No, he never blew for the mark. He could have marked it as well, yeah.
Yeah, that's what it was. And so Gribbley just lodges it and it goes in off the post. It was a brilliant score. But did I enjoy the game? Yeah, I did. There wasn't any major surprises in it. I thought the final 10 minutes, that's 7 minutes of injury time, the last couple of minutes of normal time, was dramatic. We knew it was going to go to the wire. There was never going to be anything in this game. And that's the way it transpired. And there was drama at the end. Yeah. There was. You know, so not the best All-Ireland final by any means, but I thought it was a good match.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you look at the bench situation as well, like Armagh's bench delivered so much again.
They had a bit of bench, but
it's something. You're sitting on the bench there. The game is so nervy, so touchy, and you know that your manager's looking at you, looking at Soupy Campbell, going, "It's fucking on you now, boy. Come on, do something for me. Win this for me." And he does. It's inspirational. He come on and do that. And then with Oisin O'Neill swinging over that unbelievable point and setting up the point. Like those three plays.
Just on that, right?
after the 45th minute were the goal and the 2 points. That was it. Yeah.
But okay. Just on that, right, with the impact of a bench, they have an aura around them now. And we had this with our group.
Yeah.
That the players buy into that. The supporters definitely buy into it. There's electricity in the ground. And the opposition buy into it as well.
Mm. Yeah.
That Armagh team, before the match, like, was one of the most talked about things. The bench, the Armagh bench has got to deliver. It was like positive reinforcement. And you can only imagine.
They manifested
Campbell and O'Neill and all this stuff. They're just going like, it is on us. There's a responsibility. And they embraced it. But that narrative around having a big bench, the Springboks having it in the rugby, their side of things, it gets into the opponent's psyche. It gets into the stadium psyche. And for those players coming on, it gives them a little boost as well. Like, you just see in their body language. Like, say, Super Campbell gets the body. He's like, I don't give a fuck who's in front of me. I am taking this thing on. And the Armagh crowd expected him to take it on. If he'd have turned around and had passed that back, there would have been just deflation.
They're going to walk up.
And it was just... It's just like... Do you know what I mean? It just feeds in, that story. And that takes time to build. It takes... They need to do it. Get up to that reputation. They've built that up the last couple of months. But we expected it would have an impact. And by God, it did. And they just got more out of the bench. And that's on the other side for Galway. Heady is a leader in that group. He's had impact throughout the season for them, but you lose that when you come on after 10 minutes. I'd say he's delighted.
10 minutes, you could have no impact.
I've got to play a whole match, but it's just like, Jesus, we had to play a card so early in the game.
James, I was saying to Paddy in our chat before the game, go in there, I'll come in after. Go on.
No, go on. Sorry.
I was saying to Paddy before the game, just the 16 final, James McCarthy gets a black card and he comes in for him against Mayo. Dublin only scored 9 points that day. Paddy gets 2 before half time. He comes into the game and find space and get those scores early on. What were you like as a sub? Because you would have come on in the 19th final and 18th time.
I was good, because the game was slower. And if you're quick and fresh, you have a huge advantage on the players who've been on the field for 45 minutes. I mean, that's it. It wasn't like I was sitting on the bench going, if I get that play and he does that. I wasn't like, you know, watching every last detail. But if you're confident, hungry for it, sharp and fresh, like, you are going, once you're brave enough, you probably will make an impact. But like, that's the thing, the bravery is a thing. You, like, Super Campbell knew that everyone was relying on him to come on and deliver a big play, and he delivered a goal within 20 seconds of coming on to learn a fine. Like, that is phenomenal.
He wanted that,
but he knew, he was confidence. It was just like, going for this. But on the other hand, Galway, Paddy's right, the Heaney substitution, I think no matter who went down, Heaney was going to be first on. Do you know?
Yeah.
So they didn't have a direct replacement. They could have brought on Culham, but I don't know, maybe in hindsight, what would they do the same thing again? I don't know. Did they lose something with Jenny pushing him into the corner?
Tierney,
he does not want to. Then again, Tierney out in the wing, they're not going to be competing for kickouts because Armagh were dropping off him. It just didn't work. And then the Sean Kelly one, you're hoping to get a similar input, but carrying the injuries and everything, it didn't have the same impact, just didn't have the same vibe. So Armagh's bench definitely won that battle, which was always going to be key.
I asked Joyce afterwards, you know, we've been talking about it all year, did the injuries finally catch up on you today? And his answer was very short. An injury never kicked the wide. So Christy O'Connor Joyce had said it that. In his Christy O'Connor had
I disagree. His piece today. I disagree.
Do you? It looked like Shane Walsh
could not train.
Yeah, he did not have the juice in the legs. And since the Dublin game, like Donegal game, he turns down a number of opportunities. Today, he's dropping balls short. That, like, what could he have done differently, James? Could he have? He plays one free short. Could they have caught Conor Gleeson up? Given that
he was Conor Gleeson up.
He was lining it up with the left. I nearly had a fucking heart attack. I was like, I'm not throwing another left attack.
I was sitting, Jimmy, we were sitting beside, it was a radio guy, I'd like to tell me, Darren O'Connor was sitting beside us, and he was looking at that. I think everyone at the stadium was looking when he was lining up on the left, and I was like, are you fucking winding me up? But then he was calling Gleeson up as well, and Gleeson kind of was looking, going, and he ended up just going short with it. But like, that was just outside the 45. Shane Walsh has that. You remember Castlebar a couple of years ago, Connacht Championship? He lodges three or four monster ones over at the Castlebar's. long pitch. So we know he has that in the locker, but he just didn't seem to have it in the locker yesterday. The only explanation for that is, and we're not going to know yet to do it, but he's clearly not operating 100%. And I've seen a lot of people, the usual shitheads, having a cut off Shane Walsh, whichever fuck off. Like, he's an unbelievable player. Yes, it was a bad day for him. That's, and he'll own it, and he has in previous years. But if you're playing at that level and you can't prepare as you'd like, particularly as a shooter, it can impact your performance. And I think you seen that yesterday.
100%. Like, you cannot be Shane Walsh's level of kicker without a phenomenal amount of reps so regularly. Like, he was carrying a hamstring injury, or as Joy said, shoulder injury or something. He was carrying an injury that stopped him training and getting on the field and making those reps. I have no doubt about it, because the couple that he missed, he would score usually. And what I would say about him is he still looked to kick. He didn't turn down anything really, except for that the long range one. But like, he got the mark and he wanted to shoot it, even though he dropped a similar one short. Like, he was still there for his side, but he just didn't have the work in the bank.
Oversimplify it. Cobra probably is in this bracket as well. I would have had Galway slight favourites to win that game, and I would have said it throughout last week and a couple of different things we did, on the basis that I think Galway at their best are better than Armagh. But that did not transpire yesterday. The reality is, your two most influential players, along with Conroy, probably, who does kind of stand up and have an unbelievable performance, but Galway got so little out of Walsh and Cobra. And that's anytime we talk about Galway lads for the last 2, 3, 4 years, it is, despite all the other good stuff that they have, they are the X Factor players. And you could say on the other side, Armagh didn't get a lot out of Turbot. He comes off. Don't get a lot out of Reid O'Neill as well. Like, but if those guys perform at their peak, it makes monumental difference to the performance. Monumental difference. And Galway, they look at that and go, our best players, we didn't get anywhere near enough from them. And they still nearly win the game. They still nearly get away with it. But you can't get away from that. Like, Joyce, and you can get that answer, a sense of frustration there. He was the man. He scored 10 points in an All-Ireland final as a full forward. And he's looking, going, if you said to him beforehand, go, Damien Comer's not going to score, he's going to be whipped off after 60 minutes with Matty Tierney. And then Shane Walsh is going to have an off day in front of the post with about 2 scores, so maybe 6, 7 shots at the post. Joyce would have been thinking, fuck, we're under pressure to win this game. And that's how it panned out.
But you know, with someone like Rian O'Neill, he makes it happen for himself. I think he'll catch a ball, or he'll run off the shoulder.
Is it easier though, Jimmy, because he plays a bit further out the pitch?
Yes. No, he can drift in and out. Exactly. That's what I'm saying about someone like Cormor. Do they have to work with Cormor in the National League next year, a way to get on more ball, be it on a different line of the pitch? Like,
he was a wing forward under 21s. We were talking to Paul Clancy about this.
Yeah. Jimmy, like, he needs to pick up more episodes, ball.
We had this exact conversation on the Monday after the 22 All-Ireland final. Why was he not in the game? And we said, they've got to find a way to get him in the game. And is it at midfield? Is it at wing forward? Is it something with Watts that they can work together? You have to say, again, with Comer, if he doesn't have the legs and carry the injury, it's harder to play out the field and get on loads of ball and do all the running. Again, because he could have stayed inside a lot yesterday. He was like, this is not happening for you in there. No. Got it. Falker did a good job on him, but I don't think Falker was overly stressed with doing a good job on him. But that kind of shows, again, the quality that Cobra has. Go out and get him on the ball. But it was just like, maybe he just physically can't. We don't know these things, but he's carried a knock as well. He hasn't looked for it.
The longer it goes on, though, the harder it is. You know, you're no touch there 15 minutes. Next thing you get one handy hand pass. You go back into your position, Falker hits you a belt into the chest and goes, geez, about time you got one touch anyway. Next thing, next ball comes in and he got in the corner, and then do you remember he tried to hand pass off his leg back in, next thing Falker says,
that was a horrible ball. He should have just waved that off.
They get a point from that, I think, Armagh. Armagh get a point from that.
They could
have. Cobra should have went for that ball. He should have said, fuck that. I'm not going into the corner for that.
Out into
three lads coming in to absolutely hop off of like.
Just before we go, we'll end on Galway, but I want to talk about Armagh for another few minutes. You are listening to the Football Pod. brought to you with thanks to AIB, proud sponsor of Senior Football Championship. Check out hashtag the toughest for more. If you haven't watched back Thursday's Roadshow or Friday night's Secret Pod with Aidan O'Shea, they were both a treat. Aidan was great form, wasn't he?
Top form. Good top fella as well in fairness.
Yeah, you both legged it. Although we had a good night. We had a couple of quiet points.
I club both. Championship. I had to get on the road.
Newborn baby.
Yeah.
Patty, I was depressed.
We had our reasons.
Hugo and Legion six took over. We'll do it again another time.
I got your text, Jimmy, and I was like, you're right. You're like,
James, you had such
regret. That could have been a big night. Yeah.
The CCCCCCC or whatever, Donald Kerry, setting the fixtures. Is that
2025 All Ireland final week is going to be the business.
Yeah. There's a little clip doing the rounds there. You had a Soupy Campbell moment of yourself there. We won't linger on it. The game was live on Clover, so I might.
Reeling back the ears, huh?
It was unbelievable. It was a sensational run. Kevin McMiniman-esque or Soupy Campbell-esque. Okay. You can check out that clip on Clubber if you haven't seen it yet. You're mid-championship, so we won't get into it. Chris O'Connor had an unbelievable stat in the Examiner. It's the lowest amount of turnovers in an All-Ireland final ever. I don't think either of you are surprised by that. It was just 20. Just 20. So I just wanted to mention that. Now, can we just turn to Armagh? Because the celebrations, the colour, the stories that are coming out of the camp has been unbelievable. Rian O'Neill was on Off the Ball this morning, and I just love this story. He said, myself and Oisin used to play a game called John McEntee's out the back garden, and whoever scored the nicer point would win. And the night beforehand, he had said that he hopes that this win for Armagh, just their second in their history, will inspire a new generation of kids to put down the iPhones and put down the iPads and just get outside and kick a bit of ball. I just think there's a legacy being formed here with this team. It's pretty special. But John McEntee's, what a game. And a question was put to me earlier. Who scored the nicer point yesterday? Rian O'Neill, Paddy, we had an unbelievable view of that. Or Oisin, who gets the winner. So who gets the more, the style points?
Maybe Rian O'Neill's. Because it was the wrong side. And
the curl.
I think Rian O'Neill's was a harder score. Like, Oisin is an absolute bomb as well, and he's nearly being blocked down. I did think we did see some phenomenal long range scores from both sides yesterday. Like I said, we spoke about Conroy's earlier. Rian O'Neill's was that's the beauty when you're up that high in the press box and someone kicks it from around that range on the right hand side towards the Hogan stand, you're right behind it, and it was an absolute monster. But say Oisin's was unbelievable as well.
Yeah.
And like I said, Grimley's was very similar, same sort of area as Rian.
Creedy hit a few boots.
Not as clean as strike. Creedy cropped up with two lovely ones as well. Yeah. But I would say out of those two scores, I would say Rian slightly, I fancied Rian won a little bit more than Oisin's. But I take either one of them, let's.
Okay, James, so you agree. So Rian O'Neill won the game of John McEntee's in Croke Park yesterday, but Oisin O'Neill kicked the winner in the 2024 All-Ireland final, so they'll be happy enough with
They'll be happy with just, that, yeah, they'll be happy.
Just the celebrations, James, and Paddy, you might have felt this in 13, that's my alarm to go to training. We've championship Friday night as well, so we'll be wrapping this up shortly. James.
Wrapping up on your schedule, T. Don't mind us.
Paddy, you would have felt this in 13, and James, you would have felt this in 14. It was what it might have been slightly different, Paddy, because it was your first, but it was maybe a lot of the group second. But James, it was a lot of your teams first All Ireland.
Yeah,
there would have been probably maybe more expectation on Kerry externally, but in Armagh internally, Kieran McGeaney has obviously been banging his drum for a long time. What's this going to do for that group of footballers in Armagh?
Well, it'll give them an unbelievable sense of accomplishment, first of all, which will automatically lead to a different level of confidence. Like, they're taken to the field from now on as a team that have gone to the very pinnacle, the very top, and no one can ever take it away from them. And even just individually, you know you've done it, you know you're there, you know you're in the right place. Everything has come up trumps for you, so I just think it's a pure confidence thing that no one can take it away from you. But you have to play into it. You have to embrace it. I think that some people can almost go, they can be too delighted with it and leave it there, or they can almost get a bit shy with it. Like, you have to kind of take the positive out of it and make yourself into a different animal if you can. From our point of view in 14, I don't think we embraced it enough. Like, we didn't take enough goodness out of it, I don't think. And then we got back to the final in 15. But we lost. We played very poorly in that final against Dublin.
What do you mean by you didn't take enough goodness out of it?
I don't know. It's like we didn't let ourselves grow with the tag of All Ireland champions. You know, or I think that I don't know how to put into words, but it can transform you like into a different.
I know what you're getting at, Jimmy. I know what you're getting at with that. That there's a mentality within the GAA, or maybe it's the Irish thing, to play everything down. Just don't get ahead of yourself. Don't be like, well, I think a brilliant thing for a team that win an All Ireland is to go out in the fucking McKenna Cup next year or the National League, or we're the All Ireland champions. Own it. Embrace it. And go, you, and have an arrogance about it. Maybe this is a Dublin thing, but have an arrogance around, you're not going to beat us. And you look, and this can go a couple of ways for Armagh. I'm looking forward to next season. They ain't going to be worried about it up in Carrickdale now. Half six on a Monday night, their celebrations are in full swing. But Tyrone won the All-Ireland in 2021, and it was an absolute shambles since. They never, you got the sense that they think we've kind of nicked one here, and are we really the best team in the country? I would say this for Kerry in 2022, when they finally won their All-Ireland, and there was the whole narrative was around, this is the team that's now going to dominate this decade. And you have to be honest, Kerry have regressed both seasons since winning it. And Armagh, you look at the age profile of those guys, you'd have to imagine McGeaney's not going anywhere. And that the backing and buzz around that county, there's an opportunity for them to go and say, yeah, we're the All-Ireland champions. Forget it. We don't care who takes over at Derry. We don't care about Jim McGuinness and Donegal. We're going to steamroll the Ulster championship. We're going to try and go back-to-back. There's two ways that could go. And there's examples in the last couple of years where teams haven't embraced winning the All-Ireland and being the best team in the country, because that's what it means. Armagh are waking up this morning going, we fucking took everyone out. Doesn't matter that they didn't play Dublin in it. Dublin weren't good enough to get there. Doesn't matter if they play Mayo. Mayo weren't good enough to get there. Armagh are the best team in the country this morning, and they should absolutely, if I'm in their camp, own it. And whoever they come up against in January and February and March, so why the fuck are they? Why are we fearing these guys? We're the champions. And that's, I think teams maybe try and step back from that, go, no, people think we're too big for our boots. But, you know, we definitely had it in our team. It was like, how these lads aren't getting near us. We're going to wipe them.
That's really, I think that's really interesting. And I think the whole mentality thing is really interesting as well. But is there an element that you got too serious, James, that you immediately started focusing on winning a second? Was that the problem?
No, we were definitely committed. We were definitely.
Like, he's got back to the final, Jimmy. It's not like
we weren't.
The following year, like the shambles, like it was.
We weren't. We're still very good, but I think that maybe we were too worried about not getting too big for our boots, right? Whereas, I'd love to go back and get way too big for
my boots. We were wearing size 15 to Dublin. We were like, we are, get bigger boots. We need bigger sizes.
I think you can just grow if you do it the right way. It has to be managed the right way, right? But I think that we were more play it down, keep it nice and calm. But then again, that's because Kerry had been there so many times, and there was fellas in the dressing room we'd won. We've been fucking 7 or 8 finalists, you know what I mean? So they knew exactly how probably to deal with it, but it was just something I don't think we grew enough from winning.
Do you know, the other thing as well, to look at, and we were chatting with Stevie McDonald about this last week, Armagh won one All-Ireland in their history before this in 2002. They should have won more with that team. That was an exceptional team. They were a dominant, I know Tyrone were around, and that was Tyrone's greatest ever period under Mickey Hart. But for that Armagh team to have only won one, and that won't be lost to Kieran McGeaney, he was the man for all of that period. And they were 5, 6 Ulster titles over that period of time, but they only ever won one. They lost the final the following year to Tyrone. But if you'd have said when they won in 2002 that they wouldn't win another one, but that group of players that they had, you would have found that amazing. So that won't be lost on McGeaney and those players as well. Just look at the age profile of the team they have. And the reality, lads, the landscape out there, and we might talk about this in the members' pod when we're talking about the wider, looking at this review of the season, there is no standout. There's no dominant force.
Open season.
It's open. We said this last year it was going to be open. It finally is open. You know, and there's definitely, and what Armada's victory does as well for everyone else, just from their perspective, goes, yeah, the opportunities there. There's definitely eight teams, I would say, looking at next season going, well, fuck it, Armada are in Division 2, haven't even won a provincial title, and they won the Sam Maguire. What a G up that gives for everyone else, you know?
They got to the final in 03, and Conor Gormley made that game-saving, All-Ireland winning block on Stephen McDonald.
I was at the weekend. I remember.
At the weekend.
Joe, we never asked him.
Hold on, Joe McElroy was at Paul Conroy's booth.
We never asked Stevie McDonald about that. What were we? Where did we not get round to asking about that play?
But you know what we should have asked him? Why didn't he take
you
on the left?
Because he came inside. It's a good point.
Can you see the moment in your head?
I can see it, yeah.
It's on all day.
Is it going in? It's a big, was it Pascal McConnell a goal?
It's going in.
He's a big fella. It is going in, isn't it? Like, yeah. It's going into the far side of the net. Like, yeah.
Yeah. But now, Joe
McElroy gives the defender a chance by coming back inside, doesn't he?
You should have called him out, Jimmy. He had the run of the place last Thursday night, Stevie Mack. You were sitting beside him. You give him a little bit of ribbon. Like.
Tommy wouldn't bring up the goal.
The block.
Or the goal chance, sorry. Yeah.
The goal chance, yeah. Sorry, that was on me.
That's all right, Tom.
Okay.
You played a blinder for that all week.
Fair play. No, fair, so did she. There's loads to talk about here. There's one thing I just would like to get your take on, and I'm not sure if you did it, or you probably never have one, Paddy. I've got to experience the Clare homecoming, the jubilation, just their fifth ever. The Armagh homecoming is going on right now. I can see some of the videos. It's nuts. But
as it should be.
The Galway homecoming. I saw a photo of the lads earlier. It was cruel.
Oh, it's horrible.
And I know it's a thing. I know it's a thing to thank the fans.
Never did it, thank God.
Did you ever have one, James? I know you probably don't even do winners' homecomings in Kerry. You're a bit like that down there.
Are we? No, we always do a homecoming. Win and lose. And I've done a few losing ones around you. They're cat. They're horrible. You just want to get out of there.
It's tough, I'd say.
Yeah.
Well, in fairness, the people who turn up, like, you'd be so appreciative because they don't want to be there either, probably. I mean, they're just recognising the effort you put in all year. In fairness, they've come out and supported you. But there's no comparison, obviously, with the winning one. It's an absolute euphoria. And then you're losing and it's like you just don't want to be there. You want to get into some pub in some corner and not talk to anyone. Horrible place for them to
it's
be.
Funny, that's when you win, it's similar enough as well. If I'd be a nice pub, a nice corner with the lads, I'd be blowing the fucking hinges off the place. Mm. Great stuff.
I'd rather be in Armagh than Galway this week, put it
that way. Yeah, that is fair.
We've obviously been talking a lot about Year Till Sunday on this pod in the last couple of weeks, and I think a lot of people have probably watched it. I know it's very much a Galway thing, but on it, John O'Mahony described it perfectly. He said there is a very thin line between winning and losing, but the difference in the experience on either side of that line is oceans apart. It is heavenly or devastating. So I suppose that's what's happening in Galway and Armagh tonight. I asked you about Armagh. Do you think this Galway side and group will get another opportunity? They've lost two All-Ireland finals. Are they good enough to get back?
I think so. They're definitely good enough to rattle it again, but they'll need to get everyone, like we were saying earlier, they need to get everyone fit on the field at the same time and shake off this loss, because two finals is heartbreaking. Like, they'll be looking at all the Armagh celebrations as well, and they'll be thinking what could have been. That is mental baggage they'll have to shake off. They'll have to get in a room and say, lads, next year is the year. This is the one. We're going to use that hurt for one more go at it, even if it's not one more go. They'll have to spin it as if it is one more go and just go absolutely all in. Get Shane Walsh fit, get Comer fit, get Sean Kelly fit, whatever they have to do, so they're not showing up with three quarters of a hand next year that they have everyone. And then I'd still give them a chance. They need to learn from that game. They need to learn a lot from Sunday, because they did not play that final tactically well, in my opinion. But I think they can change all those things. It's just a matter of getting everyone back on side quickly and fit.
Paddy, last word to you on this. I think we were both so impressed with A, Cian Darcy and Paul Conroy, but B, Johnny Maher, who was a tour de force in that game.
Yeah, they'll have to own it over the next couple of weeks, and I'm sure they will. They'll have some very difficult conversations because you can't get away from the fact it's very hard for them to move on without looking at what happened here first. They won't get a better chance, and that will nag at them. That they're in an All-Ireland final against Armagh, a team who'd never been in a final and were playing a Division 2 before, and a team they know so well. It wasn't a, you know, this marauding Kerry with Clifford or a Dublin team, or they will feel that was, and in reality, it was an unbelievable opportunity for them, and they've missed it. So you've got to deal with that first, and that ain't going to be easy. That is going to be incredibly difficult for those players. But on the other side of it, once they do that, you've got to look at it and go, what fucking choice do they have? You've got to get back on the horse. That is your sport. That's the way it is. You can't just throw the toys out of the pram and go, that's it. It's not worth it. It is worth it. All the sacrifice and the pain and the horrible months and months they're going to have, it is worth it if you get back there again. So do they have the quality and do they have the capacity to get back? Of course they do. Because they're a serious, serious team. Again, outside of maybe Conroy, who I think should 100% go again because of the quality he has. Mm. They have a very good age profile. They were very, very close. They're doing a lot of the things right, but they've got to own that performance yesterday, and just it's heartbreaking because it was there for them and they didn't deliver. Get over that and they just get back on the fucking horse, baby. There's no choice.
Well, Armagh, it's going to be showbiz in Armagh.
Armagh's day. Yeah. And it should be showbiz. Unbelievable.
Paddy Andrews, James O'Donoghue, we are catching up again this week where we're going to go through a... I'm going to let you boys pick your own team of the season with a bit of a twist, whoever you want to go for, and then maybe a moment...
Well, what's the twist? Can we not just pick our team?
Yeah, just pick your team.
Pick up your team. I don't want any stupid rules from your team. You don't even follow the rules to do this anyway.
Okay, I won't bring in any city twists. Okay, great to catch up. Enjoy the evening. Thanks to everybody for tuning in. And this one is for Armagh, the 2024 All-Ireland Champions.
Congratulations to Ciara Beghedi and those players. Unbelievable achievement. Deserve a champion.
Amazing stuff. Incredible story. We'll be talking about it in 25 years' time on the football pod. Paddy Andrews, James O'Donoghue, good night.
Thanks.
Good night, friends.